للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكل عبادي يقول التي هي أحسن، إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم، إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عزيزا مبينا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: من يضمن ما بين لحييه وما بين فخذيه أضمن له الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, Islam has put great emphasis on the preservation of one's speech. وَقُلِّ عِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to my servants, they must utter the correct words. Because it is by result of a slip of your tongue that the devil exploits the situation. Then he creates perceptions in the hearts and minds of people. He was referring to you. He was insinuating you. He was making nasty remarks to you. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. If the devil finds anything through which he can fuel and ignite, it is speech. So harness your tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رَضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. Sometimes a person casually utters a statement. He doesn't make much of it. But you said a kind word, you motivated someone, you inspired someone, you boosted the morale of someone. People were accusing him, making nasty remarks, and said, MashaAllah, you lost a lot of weight, man, you're looking good. And you moved on. You've lifted the spirit of someone. يَكْتُبُ اللَّهُ بِهَا رِضْوَانَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَاهُ. The joy you brought to one Muslim, Allah confirms his happiness for that person till the day he dies. وَإِنْ flip the coin and reverse the scenario. وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ. Sometimes you say, oh, you're still not married. So long. Still don't have a job. Oh, okay. You just make a remark like that. You hurt a man on a sore nerve. Something that he's battling with, he's grappling with, he's crying, he's tearing, he's going through back and forth emotions. You don't understand how insensitive you've been to the man. Asked bin Wail, he made the derogatory remark, and he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abtar, his tail is chopped off. He, like an animal, the tail of which is severed, his reference was that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no male offspring. Now Allah ordains and Allah decrees whether you'll have children or not, and what gender you will have. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. Some Allah says, I'll give them sons, others daughters, and others both, and some none. Allah, why are you going to do this? Because I have complete knowledge and complete power. I have complete knowledge and I have complete power. So you make this remark to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is abtar. Linguistically it means an animal, the tail of which is chopped off. The reference was that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't have male offspring. Allah said, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Oh Muhammad, your tail is not chopped off. And your name will not end. Your legacy will continue. And if anybody's tail is chopped off, is asked bin Wa'il. And you would agree with me, it is better that history omits your mention than remember you in a nasty way. Rather, history doesn't capture you and doesn't record you than having an unpleasant record and testimony of you. So sometimes you make a remark and you don't make much of it, but you've hurt someone, you've offended someone, you've insulted someone. يَكْتُبُ اللَّهُ. Allah writes his anger and displeasure for you, for that person till the day he meets Allah. Aus and Khazraj had these feuds and bickering and altercations that went for decades. In fact, Bu'ath was a fight that was fought in the Arabs that went for 120 years. At the rising of the son of Nabuwat was this entire feud then quenched and extinguished. One day Aus and Khazraj were sitting, and now Allah had united them. They were Muslims. There was a different approach. All that previous rancor, dislike, animosity was all gone. A disbeliever, Shammas bin Qais, passes by. He looks at the Muslims united. It was too painful for him to see two tribes that were at loggerheads now at peace. So you send someone and he incites him to sin and stir those old emotions up again and bring up those old memories. So this person comes out and two tribes are sitting and they are at peace and Allah has blessed them with Islam and he starts singing those old poetry and reviving those unpleasant memories. They were humans, they were not infallible, they had this fallibility, they were humans, and again it triggered emotions. And before you knew, the very Sahaba who were Muhajir and Ansar started withdrawing swords for one another. And just then the Nabi of Allah came, and Allah revealed the verse, وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. That what has happened to you, these are evil elements that are provoking you and inciting you and igniting. Remember where you were, and Allah had guided you. The point I'm saying is, the speech, the Arabic proverb is very apt and succinct. جِرْمُهُ صَغِيرُ وَجِرْمُهُ كَبِيرُ. The flesh is small, the crime is catastrophic. The flesh is small, boundless, but that one tongue, if it is uttered in the correct way and the correct word is said, at the time of nikah, significant amount of the verses that are gathered in the khutbah of nikah deal with taking care of your tongue. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, O you who believe, fear Allah. How much you fear Allah? Qulu qawlan sadida. Learn to say kind words. The Arabic poet said, مَا إِن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى سُكُوتِي مَرَّةً وَلَقَدْ نَدِمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. In life, I had arguments with many people. And when I came back and I started introspecting, I always regretted when I spoke. And I never regretted when I was silent. When I came back and I sat down after the meeting and after the argument and everything was over. And that leads me to another thing. This was just like a preamble to what I actually wanted to say. And two areas that I want to focus on in particular of our speech. One is the beauty of Islam, that it teaches us politeness of speech even when the nature of the engagement by its very essence is crude. So by what am I implying here is you're divorcing your wife. Allah forbid. Divorce is not a pleasant interaction. Even at that time the Quran says, listen, the exercise is not pleasant, but you're going to have to reduce the intensity of the divorce by being polite in the manner in which you do it. You've got to retrench a staff. It's not polite. It's not pleasant. You've got to break news to a patient. You've got cancer. It's not pleasant. Those are not pleasant. But at that time, Islam governs you, be euphemistic about the whole thing. And I support this here from a verse of the Quran, when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was in the jail, and with him were two prisoners. And they seen Sayyidina Yusuf as a noble man, so they said, we have a dream. Both of them were accused of poisoning the king's food. The case was under investigation. In the interim, they were dropped into the well, into the jail and the cell, and time would move and the clock would tick, as is happening, how many innocent people are languishing in jails across the globe, and may Allah grant them deliverance. Anyone and everyone, regardless of faith, ethnicity, whoever is innocent and languishing, may Allah grant him an opening. So they came to Sayyidina Yusuf and they said, listen, we see you as a noble man and we are in a crisis, please help us. Yusuf alayhi salam heard the dream. One of them said, Inni arani ahmilu fawqa ra'si khubzan ta'kulu at-tayr min. I see this bread on my head and birds are coming and they are eating from this bread. I don't know what it means in the world of interpretation. While the other one said, Inni arani aghsiru khamra, I'm squeezing some grapes and obviously I'm gathering some wine and alcohol. I really don't understand what does this mean. Yusuf alayhi salam was very skilled in the interpretation of dreams. He understood the whole situation. But now when addressing it, one out of the two was to meet his fate and his end, and he was going to be killed and crucified, while the other was going to be acquitted of the accusation and reinstated as the wine bearer. He didn't tell him, you know what, you'll start counting your days. You'll die before his time. Look at the teachings of Islam. Two people, Utbah and Utaybah, the sons of Abu Lahab, respectively gave talaq to the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum. And at that time, when Abu Tabbat Yada was revealed, last week I mentioned and I'll say it again, these are basic historical facts on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Abu Tabbat Yada was revealed condemning Abu Lahab, he gathered his two sons. The nikah was performed to the daughters of Nabi alayhi salam, but it was not consummated. So just the nikah was performed, the relation was not consummated. When this verse was revealed in which Allah condemned Abu Layyad, he gathered his two sons and he said, Ra'asi min ra'asikuma haram, I'm not your father, you're not my son, if you don't divorce the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in loyalty to the mission of their father, they then complied and they divorced. However, one was harsh, abrupt, uncultured, raw and hostile. And he said, woe be to your daughter and talaq to your daughter. Bearing in mind that he's the daughter of the paragon of Allah's creation. I'm saying there are certain situations in life, the very nature is not pleasant. In fact, the world won't tell you this. They will take up verses out of context and indoctrinate and poison you. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had categorically said, Inna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay. Allah has ordained goodness, politeness and gentleness in everything. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ. When you're in the battle and you're killing, make sure you are gentle and polite even in the ferocious battle. How are you gentle? Don't kill a flowering tree. Don't cut a flowering tree. Don't harm nature. In your power, in your clout, in your might, in your glory, don't destroy an infrastructure. Don't mutilate a body. Don't mutilate a corpse. Don't kill a woman. Don't kill a child. These are the rules and the injunctions in which a person is governed to exercise kindness in something by its nature which is crude. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. And when you slaughter in, you put in a knife on the throat of an animal, be gentle, be polite. How, O Nabi of Allah, sharpen the knife before you drop the animal. وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. Pat the animal. Comfort the animal. When you give in talaq, it's not a pleasant thing. But you don't have to be harsh, abrupt and hostile. 65th chapter of the Quran, Surah Talaq, in the 28th chapter, 28 juz of the Quran, 4 pages, Surah Talaq. 5 times Allah told the men, fear me before you give that talaq. Fear me before you give that talaq. Think before you utter that talaq. Beware before. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ. I'm just going to run through the ayat, I don't have time. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يكفر عنه سيئاته ويعظم له أجرا. فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب الذين آمنوا قد أنزل الله إليكم ذكرا. So Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he's interpreting, he said, one of you, he'll be a wine bearer of the king. And one of you, I'm afraid, one of you, in a gentle way, without being direct, without being explicit, in a euphemistic way, reducing the intensity and the gravity of that situation. The second thing that I want to focus on as part of our speech is, and today with the innovation of technology, and we are living in an era of technology, is where unfortunately it has become a norm. We don't realize that when we promote something or we broadcast something or we quote something without verifying it, we are abusing our tongue. We are liable for what we pass on. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kafa bil mar'i kadhiba." If a person has a tendency to quote everything he hears and broadcast everything he receives, he will inevitably become a liar and fall under the warnings of liars. That's a given. That's the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you just have whatever you heard, just pass on. Whatever you heard without verifying, without confirming, without establishing the report, there's going to be consequences. Now when we look into the Quran, Allah refers to this to be the trait of the munafiqeen. That whatever they received, they didn't verify, they didn't question, they just pass on. And how often the consequences are irreversible. You create panic, you stir people, you create anxiety. I was some time ago at an accident scene in which the occupant of the car had passed on. While I'm standing there, I'm receiving messages that so and so, coupled with 3 other passengers, met up in an accident, all 4 dead. The man is alone in the car, I'm there at the scene and I'm seeing it. I'm literally there witnessing the whole thing here, and here it's coming in from everywhere, from different parts. It's just flooded and it's gone viral. The Quran speaks in 3 different places. وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. That one of the traits of the munafiqeen are, whatever information they get, they don't confirm,
They don't verify. They just start broadcasting. They just start going wild, broadcasting. Just let it go. وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ If only they could perhaps take that information, direct it to the relevant authorities, get approval, get it confirmed or declined, and then decide is it in our interest to promote this or not, and then take an active step. Second message, second verse of the Quran in the 22nd Juz. Allah speaks about the munafiqeen again. Among the other evil traits, one was they would molest bondswomen. So slave women, they would molest them. And if it was a free woman, and they couldn't separate between this being a freed woman or a bondwoman, they would harass them, they would tease them. So Allah speaks about the woman veiling themselves, فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ And then the third thing that the Quran says, لَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَهِ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ وَالْمُرْجِفُونَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ Tell these munafiqeen to stop these rumors. This happened, that happened. Sometimes they would bring in information that the Muslim army was defeated, whereas they were victorious. Or sometimes they would bring information that the Muslim army was victorious, whereas they were not victorious. So just creating this rumors and creating anxiety amongst people. Now look at the teachings of Islam. This is the beauty of our deen, that it governs every aspect of our life. When Khandaq had taken place, and the Muslims had to dig these trenches for over a month, and it was deep, and it was wide, and it was cold, and the onslaught was heavy. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, udhkuru, reflect, ni'mat Allah, the bounty of Allah, idza'atkum junood, when you were ambushed by armies from every side, فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا We then sent winds and armies which others had not seen. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا The moment was so intense, that the munafiq could no longer conceal his hypocrisy, he had to come out open and say, listen, I'm not a Muslim. The price of acting like a Muslim is too much. It's too much now. I can't play the trick now. I can't act anymore. I'm tired of acting. Listen, the price is too much. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ I'm talking of sensitivity. We're living in a world where media sensationalizing things and spicing it has become the order of the day. This is the order of the day, and this is on which they thrive. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had received Nigeria. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had received information in the 11th hour. In the 11th hour, the trenches were dug to protect and insulate against the disbelievers from outside, the infidels of Makkah. The Banu Qurayza were residing within Medina. There was no protection made against them because they were in diplomatic ties with the Muslims. There was bilateral understanding with them. But in the 11th hour, the Nabi of Allah got wind that they have defaulted and they have joined others and they are against us. Now this was creating enormous panic. Why? Because whatever measures were put in place were against outside infiltration and not protection against inside, because at that time there was no threat from within. Now can you imagine, you're ready to go into battle, at the 11th hour you say, hang on, there isn't an enemy from outside, there's someone inside the house. You're hearing peculiar sounds outside, you're mobilizing, only to discover there's someone inside the house. Now do you drop in your own room, do you exit your room or not? Now look at the wisdom of the Prophet of Allah. He sent one sahabi, he said, go out there, go and scan the place. If this is untrue, then come out loud and say, listen brothers, this is a lie, so that you will boost the morale. But if there is truth that they have betrayed us, then whisper it in my ear so it doesn't signal despondency in our ranks. There's a time, there's a moment, there's an opportunity. How do you break the news? At which time? How do you deal with it? The hadith is very long and I don't have time into it. When Abu Talha had lost his son, and we talk of marriage, and this is a statement I make in many of my talks of marriage, if a man comes home to a healthy marriage, then he has adequate in his life to boost him against all the other challenges of life. It will make him resilient to a collapsing economy, to crime, to a rebellious child, to whatever else. He'll get enough power at home. But flip the coin, if everything is good in a man's life, he's healthy, his economy is booming, he's got enough in his bank balance, but he's not coming home to a happy marriage. Trust me, he wants January to start. He's not happy to be home. For him, this is misery. This is doom. And I can say how many smiles here. This is evil for him. He wants amnesty. So if the marriage is in order, long story short, the child had passed away. And when Abu Talha came home and his wife asked him, he asked his wife, what happened to the little child of ours? She said, he is more peaceful than what he was. He's more peaceful. He ate, they had a little word, a chuckle, they get close, they share the bed. I'm expediting things. And after everything is settled and he's relaxed and he's de-stressed, she said, hey, love, I need to talk to you. My beloved, I need to have a word with you. Go for it, my wife, what's it? أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَأَنَّ قَوْمًا أَعَارُوا عَارِيَتَهُمْ. If somebody borrows you something for a period of time and the duration expires, can you withhold the article? No, where are you going with this theory? Where are you going with this theory? Well, the child was borrowed to us by Allah. The period has expired. Allah has asked him back. She said, oh my beloved, but you leave me. The words of the narration, I drown in my lust. I drown in my lust. She said, but the time was not right for me to overcrowd you when you walked in. There was a moment and there was a time. And I didn't need to add that on. These are the teachings of Islam. Bear with me, I want to mention one incident. It's in the 26th juz. Harith bin Zirar, the father of Juwayriyah, the consort of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reverts to Islam. The Nabi of Allah exhorts him to give charity, he gives charity. Then the Nabi of Allah tells him, go back to your nation. He goes back to his nation, he invites them to Islam, they accept Islam. He said, O Nabi of Allah, I will be the zakat collector of my people, annually you send somebody to collect the money and I will take the responsibility of gathering the funds. وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. The Quran speaks about it in Surah Tawbah in the 10 Jews. The first year lapses. The Nabi of Allah sends Walid bin Uqbah radiallahu anhu to go to Bani al-Mustaliq. You will find my envoy there, Harith bin Zirar, my father-in-law, subsequently of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has gathered the zakat of the people. Please collect it and bring it. Walid ibn Uqbah leaves. Walid ibn Uqbah, just a little background, prior to accepting Islam, he was at hostility with this nation. So they had few, you know, contentious issues and differences. The nation had come out on the outskirts to receive the envoy. Now, when he looked at them in their numbers, due to the previous hostility, he jumped the gun respectfully, radiallahu anhu, and he said, looks like they've mobilized, and they're going to attack me, and my life is at threat, and I wonder what they're going to do with me. He takes a U-turn, and he said, oh, Nabi of Allah, bad news, bad news. I couldn't collect zakat, and this is in the Quran, my brother, I'm not a tamsak. O Nabi of Allah, bad news. What's it? These people have given up Islam and they were all outside. The way I read the situation, they were going to attack me. Now how often we conclude, we assume, we plan, we have suspicion, we have assumptions, and then the person is innocent, he doesn't know anything. Few Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, this is the case, let's mobilize and attack. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let's not be hasty, let's not be hasty. Don't be impulsive, be calculated, be circumspect, be methodical, apply yourself. Today that's the problem of the Ummah, we're impulsive. We react, you see, her late mother was the same, she's like this, the whole family, wait, let's verify, let's confirm, let's establish. Now you're accusing those in the cover, those that are going to be born, those that were born. Go slow, my brother, go slow with it. They say, you'd rather be silent and people think you to be a fool, then speak and remove all doubts. You'd rather be silent, people think you're a fool, then you speak and you remove all doubts. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Khalid radiallahu anhu went, they camped outside. He sent few Sahaba, go in the late hours, just watch what's happening. The Sahaba go in, they observe prayer is taking place, Adhan has been called out. They say, everything looks normal, all is on track. In the morning, they report back to Khalid. Khalid radiallahu anhu officially enters the town, the tribe of Banu al-Mustaliq. He says, listen, what's the story? He said, you tell us, we're waiting for the envoy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, but your news in Medina is you people have abandoned Islam. By Allah, that is completely untrue. We were waiting in our numbers, being hospitable to receive. Allah reveals this verse. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu wa fiqiratin fatatabbatu. Or you who believe, when an evil person brings some information to you, then don't just buy it, don't just consume it, don't just be gullible, investigate. And let me objectively say to you, there's an whole academic discussion here, because our understanding of Sahaba is, and we're living in volatile times, As-Sahabatu kulluhum adul. The Sahaba are all pious, they are noble. We trust their opinion, we respect their view. Allama Alusi Baghdadi in Ruh al-Ma'ani commentating and refuting the potential objection rights. That yes, Sahaba were pious and noble, but we do not elevate them to the station of prophets that they are infallible. We say they are fallible, they could err, and occasionally they did err. But due to the blessed proximity of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all are forgiven. They all are pardoned. Not in one verse or two verse or three verses, but I can safely say from the text of the Quran that if you speak great about the Sahaba, there's hope you will be forgiven. Leave alone the Sahaba being forgiven. That's a given. There's no doubt about that. But if you understand their rank, then that would be a source of your goodness. But he writes further in Ma'riful Quran that this is a Sahabi. He was innocent. He was not nasty. He wasn't obnoxious. He wasn't sly. He didn't have a sinister motive. He really read the situation like this, and unfortunately he read it wrong. So can you imagine if somebody is evil and he's deliberate and he is evil, how much more consequences won't there be? Now what does the Quran say, and we end on this? أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةً. Don't just take the information of people, lest you react and respond with ignorance, only to realize you hit in the innocent. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And then you regret that, listen, you know what, I'm sorry I said this about you, but this is what I was told. And often you cannot reverse or retract or reconcile or make peace with the situation. And this was as a result of you just forwarding information or passing on things which was not confirmed or verified. And then Allah addressed the Sahaba, that those of you that wanted the Prophet of Allah just to go in, remember if he had to comply, the consequences would have been grave and serious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to endow us with the beauty of Islam in its entirety. Islam is a complete religion. The ulama say, and I leave you with this, that there are room and there is space and there is recognition in Islam for battle. Battles have been fought, campaigns have been fought. But there's no room in Islam for harshness of speech. Because there something is achieved, but harshness of speech, nothing is achieved. Absolutely nothing, nothing. You're going nowhere with this. You're telling me nasty things, I'm telling you, it's vice versa. See, some people have verbal diarrhea. Some people, they say it goes in one ear, comes out in the other. Others go in both the ears, they come out from the front. Allah guide and protect one and all.
Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الظلام الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فقد غوى نسأل الله ربنا أن يجعلنا ممن يطيعه ويطيع رسوله ويتبع رضوانه ويجتنب سخطه يا أيها الناس توبوا إلى الله قبل أن تموتوا وبادروا بالأعمال الصالحة قبل أن تشغلوا عنها هرما وموتا خالصا ومرضا حابسا وتسويفا موليا وصلوا الذي بينكم وبين ربكم تسعدوا وأكثروا الصدقة في السر والعلانية توجروا وتحمدوا وترزقوا وتنصروا وتحمروا وأمروا بالمعروف وانهوا عن المنكر تنصروا يا أيها الناس إن أكيسكم أكثركم ذكرا للموت وأكرمكم أحسنكم استعدادا له وإن من علامات العقل التجافي عن دار الغرور والإنابة إلى دار الخلود والزود لسكن القبور والتأهب ليوم النشور أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين. يا رب اللهم ارحم ضعفاءنا ويسر أمورنا واختم بالباقيات الصالحات أعمالنا. رب عجز الطبيب فداونا وفسد الزمان فنجنا وضعفت حيلتنا فقونا. إلهي حملت نوحا على ذات ألواح ودسر يا ذا العزة والجبروت ورددت ليعقوب بصره بعدما ابيضت عيناه يا ذا الملك والملكوت وجمعت بينه وبين ابنه يوسف قبل أن يموت ونجيت موسى في التابوت وحملت يونس في بطن الحوت ونجيت الحبيب محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بخيوط العنكبوت. سبحانك سبحانك أنت الحي الذي لا يموت. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى جميع إخوانه من الأنبياء والمرسلين، خصوصا على أولهم وأفضلهم بالتحقيق الشفيق الرفيق في الغار العميق أمير المؤمنين خليفة رسول الله بلا فصل سيدنا أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى الناطق بالصدق والصواب الذي كان رأيه موافقا بالوحي والكتاب، عز الإسلام والمسلمين، مزين المسجد والمحراب أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى كامل الحياء والإيمان جامع القرآن الذي تستحي منه ملائكة الرحمن، المبشر بلسان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم متواترا بدخول الجنان أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى الأمير الولي صاحب العدد القوي أمير المؤمنين سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى عميه الشريفين المطهرين من الأدناس سيدنا حمزة وسيدنا العباس رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله رسول الله، حي على الصلاة 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 الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا صاحبي السجن، أما أحدكما فيسقي ربه خمرا، وأما الآخر فيصلب فتأكل الطير من رأسه، قضي الأمر الذي فيه تستفتيان. وقال للذي ظن أنه ناج منهما اذكرني عند ربك، فأنساه الشيطان ذكر ربه فلبث في السجن بضع سنين. وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخر يابسات، يا أيها الملأ أفتؤوني في رؤياي إن كنتم للرؤيا تعبرون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان ربي الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الذين ينادونك من وراء الحجرات أكثرهم لا يعقلون ولو أنهم صبروا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم والله غفور رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.